It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room. So it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corona.
It's time for episode 306 of the 3-Point Podcast, presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Check out memorialhealthcare.org for details on everything they offer, including kids' swimming lessons. Also, our other great partners include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House & Grill, Success Group Mortgage & Servicing also on board. Well, you know, let's start off right here. You know, February usually is the month of Valentine's and love, but love was in the air at spring break, wasn't it, Jared?
Yeah, it was. So my brother proposed, my brother Johnny, and his now fiance Lauren said yes. So, and what's funny is that, you know, this, my cousin Casey and Katie proposed as well. So there's love in the air around the whole entire family, really. You know this, Ted, from knowing him. We've had him on the podcast before, Ted. It wouldn't show on the podcast, but with stuff like that, he kind of flies by the seat of his pants, to say the least. So you didn't even, at one point I was holding the ring and we were about to go out to eat. Next thing I know, he's like, go grab the ring. So now I'm in charge of it. And if you know anything about our relationship or my older brother's relationship to me, I wanted nothing to do with it because I know if that proposal didn't go entirely perfect, somehow
it'd be all your fault.
It got me and it would have been my fault. So I was holding the ring for a while. I handed it to him about 3 hours before he was supposed to actually do it. We were supposed to do it at the sunset. He's the idiot who scheduled a reservation. So we were at a bar getting a drink. Basically, we were supposed to go from the bar, make a quick stop at the beach for the sunset, and then go to this nice dinner afterward. Right. He put our name in for a reservation. Next thing you know, Lauren, who ended up getting proposed to, well, why don't we just go to the beach for a second when this table, it just didn't work. So the ring is changing hands, pulling from everybody. Finally, when we're, after that dinner, now it's nighttime at the beach. I think he just was like, I just got to get this damn thing over with, which I'm thankful for. As soon as my mom caught wind of it, it was like chaos. And she was going to probably spill the beans at some point. At one point when he was about to propose, we couldn't get to the beach, couldn't trick her to get to the beach without it seeming obvious. My mom sat down and goes, wow, this has just been an absolutely crazy couple hours. Like just basically saying essentially, oh, you were about to get proposed to, you just have no idea. And Lauren said something like, whoa, what's been so crazy? So I'm glad it ended up being done because if it would have gone a couple more days, it definitely would have got spoiled. But it was kind of nerve-wracking. Holding that ring, I was like, man, I was like checking my pocket every 2 seconds, making sure I had it, making sure it didn't get lost. But yeah, it turned out it was cool.
So you obviously knew, like, did the whole family know he was going to do this, or was it?
Yeah. Everybody but her. So
oh, yeah, everybody but her.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, if he sprung that at everyone, it could have got really awkward. Like, your mom and dad could have been like, why are you trying to go to the beach? Like, what are we trying to do here? But it's good that he had everyone on board. My second question was going to be, or I get not really a question, comment, I guess.
Yeah.
That's one of those situations. It's like when you see the proposal at a baseball game or whatever. He must have been pretty confident that she was going to say yes. They've, you know, they're they're going to get married. They're in a good spot. You know, they've been together for a while. He's pretty confident. Because if it was like on the edge, you know, man, I don't know what she's going to say. That could make a really bad spring break trip. If she would have said no, it would have been like, so are you flying back? Or like, what are we doing here?
The car ride in, you know, five deep in a Blazer would have been, it was already horrible on the way down. Like, I'll talk about that in a second. But it was, you know, it was kind of funny. So, you know, everybody, it's always weird to me. Like, I don't get why you'd be nervous for it. But to be ever nervous, I know we were nervous when you had to do it. He was nervous. I could tell. And that's like, I was like, dude, he's going to give this away. He was acting so weird for 2 hours leading up to it at the dinner. You could tell he was like kind of procrastinating it, like just had to pull the trigger and do it. And so I'm glad he did it. And it worked out. It was very nice. We decorated the Airbnb. So they got surprised when they came back. Having a couple of drinks. So yeah, it turned out well.
It is a nerve-wracking deal. I'll tell you that too. Even at my age, when I did it the second time around, I was nervous.
You procrastinated it, famously.
I did. I basically choked on the first place I was going to do it at.
Yeah,
I was going to do it up at Petoskey, overlooking the bay, you know, and it was a perfect setup. And I just completely choked out.
Yeah.
Didn't do it till I got back into town. It was the same day.
And it was kind of the same thing where you're probably like, I just got to get this freaking thing over with. I got to do it.
Exactly. Well, I do want to set the stage a little bit.
Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny, the head basketball coach at Freeland. Casey, a teacher at Corona. We didn't even talk about that one yet. We did a little bit. He proposed to his girlfriend and now fiance, Katie. And I think, where were they at? Like Gulf Shores area?
Yeah, I believe Gulf Shores. Looked like a sunset, you know, proposal.
Yes.
I saw a couple pictures of that. She's a big Taylor Swift fan, so I thought it was funny. I think it was either a mug or a t-shirt that said, I'm in my engagement era or something like that. that was very fitting. But real quick, I want to talk about the drive down.
Oh, yeah.
So we were five deep in the Blazer, man. I every time I make that drive, it's probably the third or fourth time I've done it. I swear I'll never do it again.
It's a long drive.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I'm lucky I get to fly back, but good Lord. It's terrible. But one thing I thought that was very cool that I had never noticed on my drives to Florida before, man, like the Kentucky, Tennessee area with the rolling hills and like kind of mountains, man, it's beautiful.
It is.
Makes you want a vacation there or something. That was the highlight of the trip, or at least makes me want to come back in the fall time and see what that would look like when all the leaves are changing. That was kind of what blew my mind. For 2-3 hours, that kept me entertained on the way down. But other than that, man, I was in hell. I can't sleep in cars. So every time I do it, it's like torturing myself. It's like going 48 hours without sleeping every time. So, but we finally made it. I only got 2 more days left until I'm back, believe it or not. So I don't want to think about that. But it's been awesome down here.
It's a long drive, especially, you know, Blazers, nice cars, of course. But, you know, you guys are all five adults. It's not like you're little kids that can curl up. And, you know, it is tough to get comfortable on a 20-hour car ride or whatever it is. So that's always the worst part. I've always been able to sleep pretty easily in airplanes or in cars. Just do the whole lean over and kind of conk out a little bit.
Yeah, I can definitely do it in airplanes. I can't do it in a car very well when my wife drives because, man, she's jerking that wheel all over the place.
Here we go. Oh, I got to ask on the ride down. I'm trying to think of like what path you went. The famous question for Michiganders, which I mentioned to Ted. It's really funny. Before we started recording, I think everyone in Michigan, except for Ted, is in Florida right now or somewhere south because all my friends on Facebook, it seemed like I started seeing stories or pictures like heading south and they're all in Florida. It's just kind of
it's funny everywhere you turn. Like we were at the spring training Tigers game, which I'll say, wow, what a stadium. Apparently, it's like the best spring training stadium, like 6 or 7 years running.
That was
a sweet, sweet setup. Yeah. And, you know, we've televised TV games from there, but you just don't get the sense of what that place looks like. I was really blown away. It was packed, unbelievably packed. It was hot, but Tigers got the win. But man, it was packed. But I lost my train of thought. What, re-team me up, Matt. What was that?
Yeah, yeah. No, so then I was going to ask, did you guys stop at a Buc-ee's?
Oh, no. honestly, I don't think I saw a Buc-ee's, to be honest. I saw a lot of
I'm trying to think of your path. You may not have went by one.
I would have think I would have thought they'd go 75. Did you take 75 to Tampa, right?
Yeah. So I'm sure we passed one. I don't. Maybe. We stopped at a Waffle House at about 4 a.m. and had a creepy kind of meal there. Actually, not half bad, but yeah. It we didn't see a Buc-ee's. I've heard a lot of kind of myths and legends about those places. They look awesome. I saw a mega Wawa that was huge, and I love. I mean, that's one of those things. Every time you see it, you say Wawa. It's a great name. no, I didn't see a Buc-ee's. That's the White Castle. I've never quite been there.
Yeah, there. I mean, it's if you go buy one, it's one of those things. Like, I mean, first of all, they're actually legit. Excuse me, but if you go buy one, it's almost like you have to stop to say that you've gone, to say that you've been to one, check it out or whatever. But I wasn't sure if you had that experience.
Now I remember where. Well, my thought process was with what you said originally. Yeah, dude, there are people from Michigan everywhere. We saw at the Tigers game. We saw teachers from Corona. You're walking around. We went to Busch Gardens a couple of days ago. You see people wearing Saginaw Valley shirts. You're walking down the beach. You hear kids apparently from Grand Blanc High School talking about that. Like you see Michigan championship shirts everywhere. Tigers gear everywhere. It really is literally like mini Michigan for a week. It is kind of funny and cool.
Especially because I know, sorry to cut you off, Ted. No. I saw my family, up there. So on spring break right now. That this past Friday, I mean, you guys got a ton of snow. So extended spring break because they had snow days going into their spring break. And so I showed they sent some pictures. I showed Claire, my daughter and stuff. Right. And it was like, they're on spring break right now. And look at, they're under snow. And she was like, what?
That's one of those things when you kind of snicker to yourself and laugh and think, well, look at those suckers back in Michigan.
Oh, no kidding. Amy. My daughter and her two daughters came to take their spring break here to visit with us. So Friday night, that was the day they canceled school, and we had to drive to the airport to pick them up, man. It was treacherous. It was all gone the next day, but it was pretty wild to start spring break.
They're they're the one people on the flight heading to Michigan for spring break. Everyone else is going south. Everyone at the airport's like, wait, what? You're going to Michigan? For spring break? Okay.
No doubt.
One last little catch-up thing, then we can get on to, March Madness.
Yeah.
Unless you guys have other things, obviously. But when I was at the Tigers game, and there's video of it somewhere. Maybe I'll send it to you guys for 3-Point Podcast posting at some point when I find it. So at the Tigers game, there is a statue of Ty Cobb standing. Ted, do you know this? Do you know what this is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Your dad shared the video with us. Oh, so go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I thought maybe this is like something that back in the 30 years ago when you went to spring training, it was there.
No, no.
So there's a statue of Ty Cobb, and it's like, man, it's a great looking statue. Perfectly bronze.
Gold, right? Bronze
gold or whatever. Statue. And my dad's like, hey, why don't you and your brother take a picture next to it? I just said it. I just went along with it. They've been wanting a picture every 3 seconds. So it's just like, all right, I'll just go take a picture next to this damn thing. So me and my brother stand next to it. Next thing I know, it jumps out and scares the absolute shit out of me. It was the actual human that was posing as a statue. It was the best acting ability I've probably ever seen. I've never been scared like that. It was textbook, perfectly executed. I thought it was a legit statue. Next thing I know, he's jumping out, scaring the absolute crap out of me. So those are cool. I've always wondered who gets fooled by those damn things. Now I know. It was, it looked exactly like a statue. I just can't believe how well it looked. So if you ever want to go to a spring training game, I know that it's probably gonna be not till next spring break for a lot of people, but that's a great gag right behind home plate, right in the concourse, that I would definitely pull on somebody in your group.
So you're okay if we share that at our Twitter feed?
Yeah,
I'll have to track it down. I guess you haven't already.
No, I got it.
I haven't seen the video, to be honest. But
it's funny.
It's funny. Maybe I'll have to preview it first, but I'm sure that's no problem.
Yeah, no, you're not that bad. We're definitely going to need that. We're going to need to share that on the socials.
Yeah,
your dad got videos, a kick out of it. Yeah, you see him on TikTok or whatever. People getting fooled by those, and you always think what you just said. Oh, I wouldn't think that that's a real statue, or no, that wouldn't get me. It's impressive. I remember as a kid, we
like middle school, we went out to, we like went out west, and in San Francisco there were a couple of those. So this is a long time ago. Technology and makeup and stuff has come a long way since then. But I remember a couple people were doing that. They were, they look like statues, and then they would like kind of scare people as they walked by. And I thought it was like hilarious. And it's, so it's funny to think that it's still going. But
Matt, have you ever been to, I know Ted, I know you went to Busch Gardens like 30 years ago. Matt, have you ever been there? I know you used to go to Disney, so there's not really much of a need probably to journey that way, but.
Yeah, not to Busch Gardens. I've been by one, but it's, I mean, it's basically a theme park, right? I mean, it's roller coasters and stuff like that, right?
To me, it was honestly more so like, it was more so as like a zoo on steroids. It's kind of how I would describe it. Like there was probably, you know, seven, which I went on a roller coaster, thought I was going to puke. I think I'm officially over roller coasters. I used to ride them all the time when I was a kid. I think I've officially passed that part of my life. But no, there's like probably seven or eight like legit roller coasters you see at Cedar Point. The rest is like, you're just like kind of walking through a giant like zoo. There's a sweet safari that you kind of take a train through, you know, giraffes and zebras and wildebeest and all these other animals kind of running wild. There's alligators. It was cool. It was definitely worth the price of admission. It was, I'm not normally not a big zoo guy, but this was kind of sweet how they did it, where a lot of these enclosures were honestly like, you know, you always feel bad for the animals, but a lot of the enclosures are honestly like pretty sweet. And I was like, that's actually not really that bad of a setup for these animals. And they had literally like almost like a wide open, probably 3 or 4 miles wide, like open area for, you know, a vast majority of the animals to roam around. And you have a nice sweet overlooking deck, like overlooking all the giraffes eating out of these trees and stuff. So if you're in the Tampa area, I definitely recommend Busch Gardens for a day trip. It was the best zoo I've been to. It was just very, it was very cool. And there's roller coasters as well, so you can't beat that.
Well, it sounds like so far so good on your trip. Spring, you got, what, a couple days left, then you fly up to D.C. You didn't mention last week, though, part of the Benny, you get to fly home on the Pistons plane, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, it'll be private, flying private, so
yeah,
I've never done that. I'm a little bit scared of what that plane will be like. I don't know what that, I've just never flown. I think it's a smaller plane, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, a lot of work to be done in a role I haven't really done that much. So got to get through the obvious like business part of it, and then you can appreciate all the rest of it. So I haven't really appreciated all that kind of other stuff that goes along with it. I will probably, you know, come a week or maybe on that flight home, but got to get a lot of work done before then. So.
Right. Well, we'll be watching. All right. Let's let's move on from this and talk a little March Madness right after this.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call. 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
All right, guys, just ironically enough, I was looking at Twitter this morning, and you know, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 26th of March. 45 years ago today was the famous Michigan State, Indiana State, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson game. I mean, 45 years. I mean, and that really kind of set the stage for March Madness. You know, it's all been just steamrolling since then. And still, when you look at the TV ratings, I know things have changed, but They had like 30 million people watch that game compared to, I think, national championship games nowadays average around 14 million.
Right. So I know that game always comes up as like the game that everyone watched, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the Super Bowl or other certain events where you think like everyone is watching this one sporting event. That one always comes up as like that night everyone was watching that game. And it's crazy to think about. Obviously, like you said, a lot more options now, a lot more ways to watch, a lot more things to watch. There really wasn't much else to watch back then. That right. was what you were going to watch that night. But rightfully so, because it was a historic game. Yeah. Crazy to think 45 years ago, though.
What I always think is funny is that game wasn't even that good of a game. It's talk about the greatest game ever played. It's like a 15-point blowout. It's like wasn't even that good of a game. Was it even ever close? I know Larry Bird, that's like the one thing like it still like irritates him to this day. Like he wishes he could have won that game. Like that's the one game he'll never get back. But
yeah,
it's crazy to think 45 years ago. The thing that's kind of nice to see, and I love it, is a lot of those classic warm-ups that both those teams wore in that era, they're making their comeback. Armington in the championship game for high school is wearing it. I'm positive within the next 5 years, that's going to be like the new normal, are those collared warm-up shirts. And I can't wait for them. I love them.
Yeah. I can't wait for like seeing pitchers back, you know, 20 years ago when my era playing was everything was insanely baggy.
Yeah.
And like looking back at pitchers, not even of like me playing, you know, college basketball or even the NBA or whatever, it's almost funny to see you talking about trends coming back with warmups. Like stuff was so huge. Our shooting shirts, when we warm up, the sleeves were like down to here. Shirts basically like down to our knees. And the warm-up, you know, it was cool back then, the tearaway pants with the buttons right. all down the sides. Right. It was so cool to have the tearaway pants. Even those were like four sizes too big for us. So yeah. I'm curious if that trend will come back. The huge baggy everything.
I think that is like your era, honestly. Like I look at what Ted's era would have wore like in the 70s, and it's like almost like it's like not really that bad.
Yeah.
But then when you look at yours, like the 2000s, it's like what the hell were they wearing? So I don't know, man. Maybe it will come back. I just don't think it will. I really think it'll be the forgotten style, you know, in hoops lore. It'll be like when you see like the old White Sox uniforms with like the baseball shorts. That's going to be right. how we look back on those baggy uniforms. Just like they weren't comfortable. They weren't practical. So right. I think those are the key things that are lost in time.
Well, like I remember some dudes would like if they had super baggy shorts, they'd go to, you know, dribble between their legs and the ball would get caught in their shorts.
Right.
So it's like you said, the practicality of it was like, yeah, they're really not practical because you can't even like run properly or your pants are falling down because they're so baggy.
Yeah, like, do you ever wear baggy shorts? Like, it's not even, like, you can't function wearing them. Like, how did you guys play in them? People will do anything to look cool. It's right. kind of crazy that that's what looking cool was back in the day. It's hilarious, man. I'm glad that's a trend that we've phased out.
We would go I'm pretty sure your dad would get mad at us because we would go pick out our shorts, you know, either before practice or before games.
Season, yeah.
And we would try – like, you know, so I wore number 20, and usually what they would do, the lower numbers were smaller sizes, higher numbers were higher sizes. We'd all go try and grab like number 54, and we'd want to grab like the higher ones because we wanted the baggy. Most baggy shorts we could get. God. Pretty sure your dad would be like, yell at us, man, grab the right shorts. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, sidetrack. Yeah, March Madness. So,
yeah, what are we thinking?
I mean, MSU Spartans.
Spartans got a win, but then. Came down to reality, didn't they?
If I'm State, man, I don't like. I looked up at the score. It's kind of funny. Like, it was a tale of two viewings for me. I left the bar; they were up like 10. All of a sudden, I get back to the Airbnb. They're like down by 15. The game's over. It's like, what the hell just happened? If I'm them, man, it was a solid season. I did love what Izzo said. He basically stole right out of Jim Harbaugh's playbook. After the game, I'm gonna make a deep run in this tournament, or I'm gonna die trying.
Mm-hmm.
Just a depressing season. I was wrong in them. I had them in the Final Four. Just outmatched at every position, it kind of seemed like in that North Carolina game. It's time to move on. It's time to move on from this group. It's been like one Sweet 16. Haven't really accomplished a whole lot in the last few years for Michigan State basketball. I know A.J. Hoggard and Maddie Sissoko can come back. If I'm a State fan, I'm just ready to Bob Seger turn the page. It's yeah. I know that they'll be nice pieces and they're good players, but it's like I'm just ready for something new. I'm not even a State fan. As somebody who casually watches them probably 10 games a year, I'm just ready for a new regime. I've seen this regime. They're boring. They're not that good. They have had some moments. The Kansas State game, an all-time great, great game. Wish they would have won it, man. They probably should have won that damn game, and we'd be looking at them totally different. They're probably a Final Four team. But good Lord, it's just time to move on.
Yeah.
I know Hoggard's a good player. I know he can come back. I know Sissoko, same exact thing. I don't expect them to accept like a lesser role next year. So it's just time to turn the keys over to somebody else. That's where I'm at with Michigan State in this program.
Yeah, they need to, because you could see, I mean, they came out and they were hot. I mean, they came out swinging. They were up 15 or whatever at one point, and it was like, holy crap, they're about to pull this upset. And then, yeah, they kind of came crashing back down to earth. UNC kind of woke up. They actually started using Armando Bacot down low, and RJ Davis kind of had a pretty good game, and a couple other guys were knocking down threes. But I still feel like it's Michigan State. I feel like if they would have played a little better defensively, I think they could have hung with UNC, because they have, you can see they have the talent. Tyson Walker is good, and they have some other guys that can play. Could they have beaten UNC? You know, maybe not, because UNC might go on and win it all. They're really good.
They're good.
They have a tough game. They play Alabama this upcoming weekend. That'll be a really good game. But no, UNC is good. But MSU, it's just, they seem to like just keep, they don't have a Cassius Winston type of guy. They don't have a Denzel Valentine, Draymond Green. You know, they don't, even all the way back to like Drew Neitzel, they don't have a guy like that. Tyson Walker is good, probably be in the NBA, probably, you know, play professionally, all that. But it's weird to see a Tom Izzo team without a guy like Cassius Winston, without a guy like that, because he always has someone like that, that as a Michigan fan is just super annoying, because it's like, or even like Matt McQuaid, remember when he was there and he would always come up with big shot after big shot, and you'd be like, who the hell is this guy? And they just, this, like you said, this current group of guys, they don't have that. So, I mean, everyone, you know, you see a lot of Michigan State fans out on Izzo. You see, I don't think they should go that far yet. I mean, he is 70. So he is, I mean, last week we were saying John Beilein's too old at 71 to go back to Michigan. Well, Tom Izzo's right there. So is he starting to creep up to that age of like, man, are you just kind of, has the game passed you by? We've talked about the portal. He clearly needs to do something there. I don't know. Like, he go back to the drawing board, you know, is like what you hear, whether it's finding different recruits, hitting the portal. I mean, he doesn't have to hear me say anything, you know, but something needs to change, because clearly it's not working. They keep getting these preseason top five rankings, and then they flame out. So,
yeah, I always really like Tyson Walker. Like, that's a player, if I'm like a State fan, I'm like, man, I'm sad to see him go. He had kind of that dog in him, as they say. If I'm Izzo's kind of in a similar boat, I think not quite as bad as Calipari, but where they kind of got to figure some things out this off season, go back to the drawing board, go back to their roots, hit the reset button, and really rededicate themselves to getting this team over the hump, getting them back to where they were. They maybe lost their edge a little bit. Again, that's what I kind of felt about the State team. It's like you're throwing out all these guys they've always had, Matt, and it's like, yeah, they don't have those guys. Walker tried his best to be that guy for him, but he just wasn't quite that player. I have one solution for them that I think really would work. Trey Townsend, 1 year eligibility left. If you're Tom Izzo, I mean, what the hell are you doing? Go get that guy from Oakland.
Good call. Yeah.
It's,
yeah, why not? The kid can play, man.
It really, I'll just say this, can freaking play. And I'll say the same. We'll talk about Dusty May. Dusty May, go get this guy. Same exact thing for him, man. Oakland saved that first round. They saved this opening weekend. They really did. It was a dud of an opening weekend. Yeah. I know I'm going to be a jerk for saying that, and people are going to get mad at me. Like, I saw some tweets say, oh, if you have that opinion, you just don't like good basketball. That's your opinion. I like close games. I don't necessarily care if the underdog wins. 23 of the 32 first-round games were double-digit wins.
Right.
We never really had a buzzer beater. Texas A&M had a shot that sent it to overtime. We had a couple really good games. You know, Creighton game against Oregon was awesome, but it was just a dud of a first weekend. It really was. Oakland was the story of the first round, and really the entire first weekend. Their two games, in my opinion, were the two best games of the weekend. I wish I would have stuck to my damn gut. You know, it's like Kentucky is like my Achilles heel.
Yeah.
I just – every year they break my bracket. It's funny. You see like the graphic that's like Coach Cal and Kentucky struggles the last 5 years. You could essentially put my name on there and change it to bracket, and it'd be the same thing. They've killed me every goddamn year. I haven't made it out of the first weekend in like 4 years on the Stan bracket because they're my champion and they lose every year. They looked horrible, but Oakland, what a fun, fun team. You know, I retweeted it, but I remember back in February, Campy posted a picture of them all at like a team dinner where they were all sitting there laughing with each other, no phones. It looked like it was like a, you know, like a Italian family having Sunday dinner, the way they were interacting with each other. You said it, Townsend, stud. And the players around him, Golkey, obviously, could shoot the lights out, and he did that. What a great post-game interview that was after the Kentucky game. But if I'm them, and we can appreciate all the fun stuff, that last 12 seconds of that NC State game in the round of 32.
Yeah, they blew it.
I think he's a great coach. I hate, like, I don't want to crap on him. He did a great job getting this team here. I mean, for record, I made the comment, if Juwan Howard had the same exact team, they probably don't win 10 games. But what the hell was that? 12 seconds left. Oakland has NC State on the run. They're backpedaling. He calls a timeout, which, okay, I'm a fan of it because I think Campy's going to dial up a good play. I don't know what got lost in translation. Townsend wouldn't even have touched the ball in that final possession until like maybe a second and a half left in the game. It's right. Like, what are we doing? Just dial it up. Get him the ball. Get out of the way. He was shooting into an ocean that second half. He had 20-plus points. Second half, hitting everything. Scoring at will. Just get him the damn ball.
Right.
And then they just didn't have the gas to keep it up in overtime. They missed two big-time free throws. Golkey missed one. Lampman missed one. And then they had one huge, huge turnover that Campy lost his mind about. And that was all she wrote. It's a bummer because that was what could have put them, you know, from a one Golkey shooting performance. You know, remember that game too. This is a legit team that, hey, they might make a freaking Final Four if they keep this thing rolling. And so I just was really bummed out. That was a game that like really sat with me. I was like, man, that really bummed me out. I love that team so much and Campy deserved that moment. But man, they're going to be kicking themselves over that last 5 minutes and 12 seconds for the rest of their lives probably.
Yeah, Golkey is obviously the story. He's landing NIL deal. Yeah. You know, you saw he's with TurboTax now. You got to deal with Buffalo Wild Wings. That's the kind of stuff that NIL should be all about. You know, a guy like that gets hot during March Madness, get some money out of it, you know. I think I saw he's pushing to have like a three-point shooting contest at Final Four or something like that he wants to go do. But no, it was the story. Because, yeah, there was, you know, like James Madison pulled an upset. Grand Canyon, we talked about them last week. They pulled an upset, won a game. You know, there were some of those. But, right, the games overall, and actually a couple of buddies and I were texting. We're like, overall, I'm not going to sit here and try and say I watched every single second of every game. But the quality of play just wasn't that great. Like, if you're sitting there, yes, March Madness is fun. You know, there's energy. It's electric. You know, it's on CBS. You know, the announcers are great. Everything, it's cool. But the quality of basketball, just watching it, is just kind of like, these guys aren't very good. I mean, like, it's just like turnovers. Sometimes it's slow. A lot of missed shots. Even Golkey, the great story, he's like shooting fall away 40-footers every time. And it's like, it's amazing. I love it. But it's also like, this is just like jack it up basketball. He's just getting the ball and throwing it up. And it's a great story, but it is a little bit like the quality of play sometimes. You know, there's not a Larry Bird or a Magic Johnson, you know, in some storylines like that. So it's still March Madness. It's awesome. But you say you should have went with your gut on Kentucky. Last week, I don't know if you guys remember, I should have went with my gut on NC State. Yeah. Going in, I was like, you know, they're like I said, they're riding high after the ACC tournament. But, you know, I thought they were going to come up short in the second round. Yeah. Should have went with my gut because they're riding that momentum train. And DJ Burns is really good. They got that dude that they can just like dump the ball down to and rely on. And, you know, they might make a little bit of a run because they're playing well. So got to stop, you know, looking at those chalks. Stop looking at the rankings and think Duke is always going to win, even though they're still there, Kentucky and some of these other teams. You know, it's just go with your gut sometimes on those. I like what Jay Wright said. We retweeted it. I'm sure people have seen it. Jay Wright, after Kentucky lost, kind of along the lines of Tom Izzo needing to go back to the drawing board, Jay Wright was saying, you know, no disrespect to Coach Cal, but kind of the same with him. He got beat by an Oakland team with a bunch of veteran guys. And Coach Cal traditionally, you know, has a bunch of freshmen and sophomores basically playing. And Oakland was just better. You know, you can see Kentucky has 5-6 NBA players, which Oakland does not. But they're a bunch of like kids, 18, 19-year-olds playing against 23, 24-year-olds. And you know, guys who've played a lot of basketball. So it's interesting to think about that, how the game has changed. Legendary coaches like Cal and Izzo get knocked out early because, you know, the game is different now, you know, stuff like that. It's just kind of crazy.
You know, it's a double-edged sword with, you know, the NIL situation. Every school needs to be more on an even playing ground on that. We've talked about that before. And then the transfer portal. You know, it's just that's kind of put a big damper on things too, because it's hard to build a veteran team, because if you're not getting the playing time you want, I'm out of here. I'm moving on, you know, and I don't know what they're going to do. Hopefully it's edging back to what it used to be like. They are talking about it, that these big time programs need to keep these kids in the program. So maybe it's going to end up ultimately being a good thing. I hope. Right. I don't know. Yeah, I have one complaint. This is an old man complaint.
Uh-oh.
And I'm retired, so it really shouldn't be a complaint, but their Sunday schedule is ridiculous. I mean, I hate it. I mean, they play the first three games. You have no other games going on, so you gotta watch that whole game. You gotta go that 30 minutes afterwards before the next game, and then it goes till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night. I said, to me, I'm old, I'm retired. That's ridiculous on a Sunday. These games should be done by 10.
I'm good with the Saturday schedule being that way. I agree with you. Sunday night thing, it really does not make that much sense. Obviously, it's TV ratings, West Coast stuff, but what also makes that you really feel it is when those games are duds. Outside of the Marquette game, it felt like both those four or five to six games in those early windows were all duds. And it makes you notice, man, this is going slow. I agree. I hate it. They need to put maybe one more game in between the start at noon and the 2:40 game, and just give us three instead of the two and the five. Give us three and four, you know, before 7 o'clock. I think that would be a big difference. But I didn't stay up for him. I'm not even your age, Ted. I didn't even stay up for him. I wake up the next day, watch the 15-minute YouTube recap of all the games, and that's kind of what you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's always like I remember, you know, seems forever ago at this point, but when Michigan was making a couple of their runs, they had a couple games that were 9 o'clock tip-offs. Yeah, Michigan State has too at different times. So when it's your team, of course, you're going to stay up and watch. And I remember there being times that, Michigan's playing till 1 a.m. And I'm you're falling asleep. It's you're excited because it's the NCAA tournament.
Am I remembering it right? Where it was the Texas Tech game where they got drubbed by 20 was a 9:40 start. Yeah. Am I remembering that?
Yeah. Yep. So one of those games. Yeah, you're staying up till 1 a.m. to watch your team get smoked by 20 points. And you're just what am I doing with my life right now? But everyone's my champion, UConn, still in it. Seems to be I don't know. A lot of people are saying, I saw Mike Greenberg even said he thinks UConn could make the playoffs in the NBA. You know, everyone's all in on UConn right now, but maybe it's because of where I live, but I'm wondering if UNC is going to be the team to make the run. You never know what's going to happen after that first weekend. You know, sometimes teams maybe lose a little momentum, but I was going to ask if you guys, I guess Jared, you're going to be busy. I'm thinking of the timeline. You're going to go down to Detroit and watch any of the Sweet 16 games? I kind of forgot going into this tournament that they had a Sweet 16 site. You know, they have the Midwest and some pretty good games too. Purdue and Gonzaga. It's a really good game. Creighton, really cool game there. So, but as we were talking, the games are at 7:30 and 10 o'clock on Friday night. So, and they're $600 tickets.
Purdue will bring a huge crowd. It is a great regional. I mean, Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton. Tree just got blown over in hurricane winds out here. Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton, and Tennessee. It's a great regional. It's going to be cool to see. I don't know. Outside of Pittsburgh, I thought the regional sites were kind of duds opening weekend. They crowds sucked, and it's funny comparing it to the women's tournament where they play those opening round games at the one seats home building, home court, and those crowds are great. I think there's something flawed. I don't know if it's locations. I don't know if they should be playing them at home gyms. I love that they have they're on these kind of neutral sites, but the crowds to me were kind of duds. I think Detroit will bring a pretty solid crowd, and LCA will be kind of cool to see rocking like that for a basketball game, which I haven't really seen that much. Mostly it's been hockey when that place is really kind of jumping. So, I don't know. What did you guys think of that? Did you guys think the crowds were kind of disappointing?
A little bit. I mean, the one in Charlotte helped because UNC and was here. Yeah. So, I mean, that helped a little bit. But I think part of it is, I mean, not to like complain about it, it's the price of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, I know last week you asked if I was going to go watch those, and I was like, no. But Saturday, I was like, man, that'd be really cool to go to. MSU versus UNC is 5 o'clock. Great time. I was like, I'm going to go. And actually, a couple friends who live down here, they were going also. A couple friends that are Michigan State fans from Michigan, they were going. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to try and go. Tickets were like $500, $600, $700. And I'm like, dude, I'm not even a Michigan State fan. I'm not about to spend that kind of money to go up down and no. watch that. If they made it a little more affordable, maybe that'd be different. But
yeah, man, I'm right. I'm 100% with you. You know, when you asked the first question about going to the Detroit, Sweet 16, possibly would consider it if State, Oakland, or Michigan were in it. But there is no way I'm shelling out 500 bills right. to go down there when I can watch it in the nice comfort of my home, you know, especially being late games. But that's the way it is in today's day and age of sports in general. You know, it's entertainment, and you got to pay that money to go see it if you want to see it live. Before we move away from college basketball, we kind of went over it a little bit, but Dusty May at Michigan seems like a tremendous hire to me. I mean, the timing of it anyway, and the potential and his age and what he brings to the table. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, I don't know if there was really a home run hire. You know, when Juwan Howard was hired, we thought that was a home run hire for mm-hmm. Michigan. I don't know if there really was something like that this offseason for Michigan, especially given where the program is right now. Basically, every player is transferred. There's almost like no one left on the roster. So they needed, in my opinion, they needed a quality coach with experience, with tournament experience, with wins. You know, he turned around. Yes, it's FAU, but that they're in the tournament every year. Quality basketball program. He turned them around. They were basically in the dumpster when he went there. Now they, like I said, they make the tournament every year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good hire. And apparently, you know, the word is John Beilein was kind of in on the hiring process, like, you know, because Dusty May was going to go to Louisville. And I guess Beilein talked to him and, you know, I don't know if he convinced or, you know, whatever, him to go to Michigan. So if Beilein was in on the process, I like that. For where Michigan is at, I'm fine with it because, mm-hmm. you know, yes, I said, like, we thought Juwan was a home run hire, but he had no college coaching experience, recruiting, all of that, you know, he had never done. Dusty May has that experience. He'll come to Michigan. There wasn't like a home run type of hire. Like Nate Oates wasn't going to come back to Michigan, you know, or whatever. So I'm happy with it. We'll see what he can do.
Of all the names, I think they got the biggest one. I think.
Right.
So I wasn't jumping up and down like in all around like when Michigan hired Jim Harbaugh. But to me, it was a good hire. It was John Beilein, man. Thank you. Because apparently Ward Manuel was not going to get this freaking thing done. And at least smart enough of Ward Manuel to say, hey, I can't do this. I can't close this deal. Let's go get this guy. And he can do it. Dusty May, I don't know a ton about him, but just like my research, I mean, you take Florida Atlantic to a freaking Final Four. I know it's one run, but pretty freaking impressive.
Oh, absolutely.
He hasn't had a losing season there. First time ever, I think before that, I don't think they had two consecutive winning seasons since like the early 90s. So he's a good coach. I like him. He's got a fun play style. He seems to have embraced this new era that we're kind of living in. I mean, if you can build a freaking winning program at FAU through Portal and through all these other things, I think he's going to be able to do it at Michigan. I think he's going to hit the ground running. I think it's a solid hire. I'm excited to see what he does. I'm just glad that we're on to greener pastures. I don't think they can be any darker than what we came from. So right. It should be a day of celebration for really everybody.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in East Lansing, they have the Zone. Michigan, they already have the Maze Rage, but now it's going to be spelled a little bit differently, right?
Lovely. Yeah.
That's cool. Also, guys, I did last night. I've been checking out the women's tournament casually, but I've been really intently watching Iowa, obviously. And as Jared said, when the women right now still are playing the first round games at the home court, man, Iowa and Hawkeye Carver, man, that place was just wild last night. It was a heck of a game.
Yeah, I've seen some people say that, you know, like we're saying, maybe the men's tournament needs to consider this to get better crowds. I've seen some people criticize the women's tournament and say that that adds an unfair advantage to
Iowa. I'm on that side, by the way.
Right. So I don't know, like you could go either way. You can say like you should be rewarded if you earn the number one seed in the tournament. Yeah, go ahead and host. Same with the college football playoff expansion that's coming. Mm-hmm. They're going to let the early rounds are going to be hosted by the upper seed, I guess. So because they earned that. I don't know. I can see an argument both ways because, right, Iowa at home, I mean, that's a huge home court advantage, especially when you have Caitlin Clark, South Carolina at home, huge home court advantage. So, you know, I can see it both ways. But right now, again, all the way back to full circle, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, the women's game has those kind of matchups right now with, yes, you know, characters, people that you're interested in watching, even with the coaches, all the stuff going on with Kim Mulkey right now. Dawn Staley obviously is a legend. So, you know, people want to watch these games. Yep. They want to see if Caitlin Clark can make that run. They want to see what Angel Reese is going to do. They want to see if, you know, even UConn, people forget about UConn, yeah, and, you know, that the legendary program that they are with Paige Beckers and, you know, just being UConn women's basketball. So they, again, I'm not going to sit here and act like that I watch every single game or whatever, but the storylines, I guess, in the women's game is a little better right now than the men's.
Yeah. And if Iowa and LSU get by their games on Saturday, that's going to set up a pretty nice matchup there in that next game.
I was trying to find the tweet, but I mean, I watched the very end of the Iowa game and it's like, man, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that they're cooking, the refs are like cooking the books or whatever, but good Lord. I saw like a stat basically of West Virginia committed 27 fouls. Iowa committed 9. LSU had shot 37 free throws and Middle Tennessee State shot 9. And here's the thing. I have no problem if that's what they're doing. If they're making this a collision course of LSU and Iowa. I said that like 3 or 4 weeks ago, like whatever they have to do to make this matchup happen, they need to do it. And I'm for it. They might be rigging the game to in Caitlin Clark's flavor to get her to that game, but it's going to be fun to watch. And it actually was a pretty fun, you know, the few games that I did watch, it was a fun weekend. I mean, I saw Stanford versus Iowa State was a fun game that I happened to turn on and watch. So they really are figuring something out with this women's tournament, and it's going to be, I think Caitlin Clark might draw more viewers than any men's game when it happens. But I want to say this upcoming weekend is the games are played on the weekend, basically the same time as the men's games. Maybe somebody double check that for me, but I don't get that. Yeah. Why would you do that? Just, it makes no sense. Yeah. It's perfect how they have it now. Monday, Tuesday, and watch those games then. I don't understand why you'd want to compete against the men's tournament. It just makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, I think one part is the women's tournament is on the ESPN family of networks.
Yep.
And obviously the men's is on Turner family of networks. So ESPN wants to try and pull viewers away from Turner, especially with the storylines of Caitlin Clark and LSU and South Carolina and UConn and everyone. They're gonna try and pull people away from the men's tournament. Because I also remember the women's used to be like during the week. The games would be like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And there was a legitimate, you know, argument or complaint that why are we treating the women's tournament differently? Why are we giving the men's the weekend? And, you know, back then it was before the women's game had really grown to what it is now. So that was kind of the argument. But yeah, I think it's mainly the competing networks just trying to compete with each other.
That's a good point. And this year, like you said, it's like they probably will take more viewership. Caitlin Clark, especially the LSU versus Iowa game, nobody is going to be watching the men's tournament when that goes down. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. I see both sides, but to me, it's like, it's like scheduling like college football. It's like if they just said, we're going to go head to head with the NFL, I just don't understand it. But I get the point. I get that it's obviously who wants to play during the weekdays? Nobody wants to do that. But it just seems like a bit of a missed opportunity. But again, these are two competing networks, two competing products. Like, who gives a shit? We're going to try to beat them.
Well, they compromised a little bit because some of the games will be on Monday.
Right. Yeah.
They're playing Friday and Saturday. They're Sweet 16. But hey, it's going to be fun to watch. Caitlin Clark, you just can't stop watching her. And Iowa's got a pretty good team. So it'll be fun to see how it finishes up. A couple other quickies before we move on to the prep spotlight. I don't know if you guys saw any of it. The timing was perfect in the basketball. I flipped it over to the Big Ten hockey championship. Oh, yeah. Michigan State. It was an overtime. It was exciting, you know, at Munn Arena, and MSU picked up the win 5-4, and they've really turned their program around. You know, they had struggled for quite a long time in hockey, but it looks like they got the right guy and going to the tournament now.
We did an interview because their goalie, who's like their stud, Trey Augustine, is a Detroit Red Wings draft pick. Mm-hmm. And we interviewed their coach, Adam Nightingale, and Trey Augustine, and their assistant coach, Jared D. Michelle, I believe his name is. I say this truthfully. Like, I've never been more impressed with, like, just being around a group of guys, how they treated you, shook your hand, looked you in the eye, all that kind of, you know, mumbo jumbo that people talk about. Just really impressed with their program and how they treated us when we were at, you know, Munn Ice Arena and interviewed them, to the point where I'm like, I'm a fan of Michigan State hockey. I don't give a I'm beat Michigan for all I care. Go win the national title. So they're a really fun story, and it's awesome when you have a very good goalie like him that you just kind of ride. And obviously Nightingale's one hell of a coach, and he clearly got the right guy in Trey Augustine in net. So they're gonna be fun to watch. I'm with you.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it before. Sorry, Matt. When you watch a good hockey game, especially in the NHL, if it's the Stanley Cup playoffs or even this Big Ten championship, when you get overtime hockey, you can't stop watching, man. There's nonstop tension.
Yeah, it's great. I was just trying to look up. I was trying to remember all the teams that made it, because a bunch of Michigan teams made it and they're in the same bracket. The Frozen Four, it's set up a little differently than March Madness. But yeah, I was trying to remember. I was pretty sure. So Michigan State takes on Western Michigan in their opening game, and then the winner of that plays the winner of North Dakota and Michigan. So we might see Michigan State again right away,
or and Michigan's even Western Michigan on that side too,
right? And then Michigan Tech. It's always funny to think about Michigan Tech being in the the same division, or Michigan State.
What cracks me up about that? It's awesome. It's like, if you were a State fan, like, think about Michigan's like this powerhouse hockey program. They are giving Michigan every damn chance to knock off State on this magical dream season. And right. If you're State, it's like, good Lord, they're going to beat us the one damn time it really truly matters in the Frozen Four. So they just got to figure out a way to get it done, man. They cannot let that happen. If you're a State hockey fan, you cannot let that game get by you. You got to win that Michigan game. This is the season. I know that it seems like they're really building something here with Nightingale, but good Lord, you got to win that game if they advance out of that first round.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be fun to watch for sure. And one final thing, a little bit more Michigan State love. Their gymnastics team won the Big Ten championship. And I mean, that you just got to go, man, that is some good news after the whole Nassar evilness. You know, the gymnastic team now has a Big Ten championship. So Skyla Schutte, the all-around winner. That's good news for the Spartans there. Congrats.
Yep.
I'm surprised. How did this come across your timeline?
I have my sources, and I'm a subscriber to the Lansing State Journal, so I stay on top of things.
All right.
All right. We'll be back. Well, we'll take a short pause, and then we'll be back with the Prep Spotlight presented by Jacobs Insurance Agency right after this.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like Three Point Podcasts, we've had three generations: Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21 just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Insure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
All right, guys, not a lot going on at this time of the season. You know, we're getting ready for spring and, you know, the basketball just finished up on the girls' side. I know, Jared, you didn't have any duties, but in D1, West Bloomfield held Grand Blanc to just 1 point in the first quarter, cruised to a 30-point win in D1. D2, Detroit Edison held Ann Arbor Father Gabriel Richard only 3 fourth-quarter points, 41-43. They picked up the win. In D3, Arbor Prep picked up the state championship. And in D4, Janessa Eagle scored 25 points over the final couple quarters, finishing with 27 to help Ishpeming to their first finals title, 73-54 over Kingston, a team that was in the finals for the first time. It's always great when, you know, both the boys and girls can finish up at Breslin. There's neat storylines, you know, it's good basketball, and it puts a nice capper on the season.
The big story was the, you know, the Davis wins for West Bloomfield. Honestly, the big game was the semifinal versus Rockford, where time ticking down, you know, 2 seconds left, right as the buzzer sounded, one of the twins, India or Summer, launched a prayer from like Steph Curry range, banked it in to send the game to overtime versus Rockford, who Rockford beat West Bloomfield in the championship game in a great game last year. So that was almost like the LSU versus Iowa type matchup in the state. And then obviously, like you said, West Bloomfield coasted to the title in the championship versus Grand Blanc. So yeah, it's a fun matchup. It's a fun weekend. Obviously, like you said, every year they do it right at the President Center.
They do.
They really do. So no complaints there.
Also, I want to say congratulations. We've talked about her before. New Lothrop freshman Caitlin Wendling was named the Argus Press, as we call it, Miss Basketball. She averaged 15.3 a game, 5.5 rebounds, helped lead them to a 20-8 record in regional championship. And again, only a freshman, so the future is bright. First time a freshman been named the Argus Press Player of the Year. So that's pretty amazing. Also on the first team, Ovid Elsie's Evelyn Cole and Ava Bates. Morris's Aubrey Rogers, who was the Argus Press Player of the Year last year, is also on the first team. Owosso sophomore Danica Dwyer and Duran's Izzy Kineski, also first teamers. And finally, in track and field, as we're finally getting to the spring sports, Saginaw Valley State had their indoor invitational. Chesaneen had 3 first-place finishes. Boys 4x300 relay, Zach Garneau, Truman Danick, Zach Harlan, and Caleb Walker. Junior Eric Brancic finished first in the high jump at 6'2". And on the girls' side, Michaela Reber took home first-place honors in the high jump, also clearing 4.8. Weather today, it's gloomy, cold, windy, not conducive to spring sports. No. That's just a little bit of the problem we have in Michigan. You know, baseball teams are going to be out there. Can you imagine hitting that baseball with the aluminum bat? It's going to be some stingers out there early on in the season.
It brings back the memories of, when baseball season started up in Michigan, because half of your practices were in the gym because the field was either covered in snow or it was muddy, nasty, just disgusting. So you're practicing baseball in the gym, which just doesn't make sense at all to try and take grounders off of the gym floor. So you're dealing with that. And then if you can get outside, it's still 35 degrees or 40 degrees. So you're just freezing cold, standing there out in the field. Like, what am I doing right now?
Honestly, if I was going to change, if I was like MHSA commissioner, that would be probably my number one change, is adjusting the baseball schedule. It's funny. Every year they spend all this time putting together a schedule. They end up canceling the first 10 games. If it was me, I would almost like kind of like a very long spring training. And then you have probably play 6 games a week, you know, probably every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday or something like that, where you're once the season starts, you're almost like an MLB schedule where you're playing games every day. And double headers on all those games. So that's what I would do. It makes no sense how they do it. I know at the end of the year, there's not really much else you can do. It's just kind of the state we're in. But that's one small tweak I would make.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, and you could even elongate the season a couple more weeks if you wanted to. I think they end right now. The baseball and softball finals are like right around June 19th. You know, run it up to July 1st if you have to. Just have some good weather. Even the seniors, you know, I don't think they'd mind coming back and continuing playing ball, you know, if they have to continue on to the tournament. So that's probably the one change they should do is exactly do something with the spring sports, especially baseball and softball. All right, let's wrap up this podcast with a quick little tetertainment tonight, right after this.
Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service and real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at CoreyShook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
All right, guys, I don't have a whole heck of a lot, but I one more time want to throw in. I finally made it through Lord of the Rings 2, and I've got the third one to look forward to. Well, there's been basketball and stuff. I haven't had time. Right. I did want to tell you, and it's good, and I will say this one more time. The comparison that I see between that and some of what I watched on Game of Thrones, I think Game of Thrones ripped them off a little bit. Whoever 100%. Wrote that.
Yeah. In the battle, right? The battle.
Oh, the battle. That last the battle in the Towers
was literally the right out one. Of Battle of the Bastards.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So this just adds to, I don't need to watch Game of Thrones. I've already seen it. I don't even need to put the time in and watch Game of Thrones. Thank you for clarifying that for me.
That's fair enough. That's what we're here to keep you straight.
Twin Towers was always my favorite. The first one of Lord of the Rings, good. Towers was always my favorite. The third one you have to watch because you have to see how things come together. But I always remember Twin Towers was so good.
Yeah, it was really good, especially that battle scene at the end. It was incredible.
Right. Well, if you think about that movie, that's when you have Smeagol is on his quest with Frodo and Samwell, and awesome battle at the end. So, I think our listeners are probably excited for when the Lord of the Rings chats. that's what I thought maybe you were going to say today, but apparently we got at least one more when you finally finish the story. So
I'll probably hold it off for 3 or 4 weeks down the road by the time I get to it. So maybe they'll forget about it. I did watch one other good series on HBO again, True Detective. It was True Detective Night Country. It's the fourth season of that series. It takes place in Alaska. Jodie Foster is in it. She's really good. It had a very interesting plot as it takes place with 8 men from a research station up in Alaska where it's dark every day when this thing is filmed. They disappear and it's a mystery and what happened to them. So I'd give that one at least a 2.7. It was good. Jodie Foster was really fun to watch. And again, the True Detective series, nothing is held up to the first one with McConaughey and Harrelson, but it's still worth a watch.
Some of my friends that have watched every season of that said this was, I think it's because, like you said, the first season set the bar so high for that series. Some people told me that they didn't like this season at all. Jodie Foster was good, but they just, maybe it's because that first season set the bar so high. But when you see who else was in that this season, it's like, and it's on HBO, it's got to at least be pretty good. So maybe that'll be worth a watch.
It's worth a watch. I can see where where some of the complaints are coming, but if you stick with it and really give it some thought, I think it's worth a watch. I will say the ending, I won't give anything away, but it was a bit baffling. I'll just leave it at that. It was, you have to definitely think about it afterwards for a while.
Well, that doesn't sound like a good review. That doesn't sound fun. I will say the setting of it being in Alaska, where it's essentially 24 hours of nighttime, that's a freaky setting for something like that to be going down. So I appreciate that.
That would be creepy. I watched on Max. I don't know if you've seen this one, Ted, but it's true crime, three-part little docu-series. It was done by the person who did The Last Dance. So, done very well. Murder in Boston.
No,
Yeah, I think you would really enjoy this one. It, like I said, three parts. I think each episode's 50 minutes.
Okay.
So you can watch it pretty quickly. It's about you probably remember this story. It was in the late 80s. So obviously I was very young. Jared wasn't around, but there were some murders that happened in Boston, the Stewart murders. It was a pregnant lady got murdered, not to give many details away, but, and then it just spiraled into a huge investigation, and it's a very deep look and a very, pretty sad look into the race issues that, were going on back then, especially in the city of Boston. You always hear about, what has gone on in Boston. And it goes into, again, man, all of these shows, just how police so many times just drop the ball with investigations or the weird stuff that they do, shady investigations, or how they pin stuff on people. Even there, how the media played a role in how things were covered. And like I said, just three parts, done really well, and a really interesting story, and sad also. But I would definitely highly recommend that if you like true crime type stuff.
You know I do.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's on Max. Like I said, three-parter, Murder in Boston.
All right.
Highly recommend that one.
Sounds like a winner. My wife will definitely watch that with me. So I'm always looking for those.
Yeah. Have you guys, the big one that everyone's talking about, I'm curious if Jared, well, obviously you're on vacation, Jared, but if either of you guys are going to watch the Nickelodeon documentary, that, have you guys seen people talking about that, or?
Yeah, so I
is that seen, the one with some pedophilia or something going on? Yeah,
it's one of those that tells the true story of what happened at Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
It's messed up, I man. I mean, I saw my girlfriend Liz watched it on the way down to Florida, actually, and so I was kind of like looking over her shoulder every few minutes to kind of watch parts of it. It's messed up. It's unbelievable the amount of weirdos that were kind of running that place. Drake Bell is kind of the main, character in it, who has started Drake and Josh, which is one of my, still to this day, really one of my top five all-time favorite shows. I love that show so much. So it's kind of, when you rewatch, I don't rewatch it, but if I rewatch episodes of that show, it's has a dark feeling to it now. Now that you see what kind of went down, it's terrible. I don't know. It's something that sits with you for a while. It's kind of unbelievable how these things happen, but you get why. It's like, oh, Drake Bell, his story, it's like, yeah, he gets told by this casting guy or this casting director or producer, whatever his role was. This guy ended up being put in jail by Drake Bell. Basically, the guy, to give him that role at Drake and Josh, is like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that, or guess what? I'm going to make it so you never make it in this industry. It's, pretty clear how these things kind of can happen, and it's just messed up.
Yeah.
Completely well, then, you, messed you know, up. all the stuff that happened, Amanda Bynes is, the saddest story. It's all very sad, but she's one of the big ones. Everything that's happened with her since being a megastar there for a while, so she's one of the main ones. I haven't watched it kind of your reaction to Ted, my wife and I were it might be interesting, but also kind of sick, and almost
totally
like you said, Jared, it kind of sticks with you if you watch it. So we've kind of been on the fence if we're going to watch it or not.
What network's that on again?
Netflix, I believe.
Netflix.
Quiet on the Set.
I think it's on Hulu also.
Okay, you would know where it's at probably better, but I think it's called Quiet on the Set.
All right. Kind of fitting nowadays, the latest news from yesterday. Again, we're recording this on Tuesday. Did you see the Sean Combs raid of his house and what he's alleged to be involved in? Sex trafficking and everything else. We'll hear more about that story for sure.
Yeah. I like that you called him Sean Combs. Weird.
Yeah, because P. Diddy, whatever. He goes by so many different names, right? What would you call him? What would your go-to be, Jared?
P Diddy to YouTube. I actually like how you said his full name. Let's start calling him that. He doesn't deserve to be called P Diddy anymore.
Right.
What a weirdo! There's a lot of weirdos, man. I don't even know the full story. That's one of those things I don't really want to dive into. I never understood why he was so popular, really, in the first place. He's got a couple great songs. I'll Be Missing You is a good one. Whatever the song's called, like Can't Stop Me Now or something like that's another good one by him as well. But outside of that, I've never understood the big deal with this guy. And it's like, you learned he's like was mad at Justin Bieber for not hanging out with him like when he was like 10 or 12 years old. It's like he's just a weirdo. I hope he gets what he deserves.
Maybe there's more behind the story when you say it that way, 10 to 11 years
old. Yeah, exactly. It's like what was going on with this freaking psychopath?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it too. Whatever he did in his life, he is very successful. His house is one of the most impressive mansions I've ever seen when they had the helicopter fly over. It's gigantic.
And well, he was obviously huge in the 90s and in rap and everything. And then he became a huge producer. Like he had a ton of shows on MTV back then. Like reality TV show type thing, find the next rapper. Or find, he put together like a band and he had all these shows. And I think obviously he made money through his music, but I think as a producer is probably where he's made obviously the piles of money. But who knows how else he's made money and what else has gone on behind the scenes. I'm sure we're going to find out more, but it's just a shame. I wasn't necessarily like a big fan of his, but that was when I grew up. He was huge when I grew up. Everyone knew everything that he did. It's almost like you can't put anything past anyone these days. Like the stuff that's coming out, Nickelodeon's getting ruined. And everyone, all of us kids grew up watching Nickelodeon and these shows. And now,
it's so sad. I mean, it keeps you on your toes being a young father, with two young kids. I mean, You just gotta have your head on a swivel out there and what's going on in the world, And I guess it fits the moniker with Combs and everything else. Hollyweird, man. There's just him and Epstein and all these. I mean, who knows what goes beyond the scenes?
And that's only the stuff that's like been uncovered, man. That's,
I know,
right?
It's crazy.
There's a lot of weird stuff that's probably been covered up.
Yeah,
probably. I'm trying to become some conspiracy, but it's almost like you don't want to know. It would ruin all these, like you said, Hollywood weird. Scary way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jared, we're going to get out of here. What do you got on the agenda the next couple days down on spring break?
I think today is just kind of a relaxing at the beach day. We've been kind of running around, hustling, bustling the last, 3 days. So I think today is like kind of where it's like you almost need a vacation during your vacation. Like, let's just chill. Oh, one thing I got to say, give me 30 seconds to rant on this. The Lakers pre-training game was great. Holy shit, they have no idea how to park. What the parking situation, it literally made me want to rip my eyeballs out. It felt like we were trying to park for 45 minutes. Getting out, we literally sat for 45 minutes before we even could start moving in the pullout line. Like, what is going on? They need to figure that out there down in Lakeland for the love of God.
Yeah, they only got that one way in and one way out, right?
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing? And the cops are doing nothing. They're not even like waving people through or anything. It was amateurish. And I guess it's like Lakeland's literally right in the middle of this like neighborhood. But that's your one thing. Can you guys really not, maybe bulldoze a house, make another exit way out one way and like figure this out? It was like unbearable. I love the actual game, but I don't think I'll be back because of that.
One quick thing. I know we're running long. We're signing off. I've been wanting to bring up, and now's a good time with Jared having gone to a game. Ted, have you ever done the thing? I forget what the official name is of it, but it's at Tiger Spring Training where you can go and basically be a Tiger for a day where you get a uniform, you get to practice with the team, you get to meet all the legends, you get to, I think, even play in
fantasy camp.
Yeah, fantasy camp. That seems like something. I mean, I would like to do that, but that seems like right up your alley. Have you ever done that?
I never have. I actually had kind of thought about it back 20 years ago. I'm a little past my prime to even be a part of that now. But it's a cool thing, And former Tigers put it on. Jim Price was big in it before he passed away. Yeah, it's a neat thing. And you're right. I had thought about it. It would have been something cool to participate in, but never did it.
Yeah.
I'll say, like, you'd be now at this point in your career, it's like you would be the guy broadcasting the game. It's like, I don't think you could be you know, rounding third on a triple, or you know, on a home on inside the park or home run.
So oh no,
I think he'd be calling the game.
I value my hamstrings too much, I'll tell you that. All right, fellas, another fun one. Thanks for checking in on spring break, Jared. You're dedicated. We love it. I want to thank everybody out there, including Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. They're our marquee sponsor. Talk to a rep or go online, see what discounts are available for membership. Get healthy, get in shape. Details at memorialhealthcare.org. Also want to thank our other great partners. They include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. Peace and love, everybody. Be kind. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3 Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3 Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3 Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.